If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the newest episode of the Punchless MMA Podcast. Now, you're probably hearing this voice on your drive or your commute on a Wednesday morning, the thousands of you that download, and you're like, this is a weird voice. This is not the velvet baritones that I'm used to. This is some squeaky SoCal bullshit, and I don't know if I want to keep the episode going. Well, too bad, dude. You guys are locked in for the next 45 minutes with just me. If you guys are longtime listeners, you know our main captain of the ship, Dale Lippin, is out. He had a family emergency. So those, you know, we're a tight-knit community. Guys, keep your thoughts and prayers for Dale and his family. He'll be back next week. But here's the interesting piece. I've been out a couple episodes. I've taken some impromptu surf trips, had too many cutwaters. I missed some episodes in my day. That's a real thing. And Dale always invites on, you know, a stellar guest. And he does a fantastic job with that guest. Call it, you know, Anik, Emmett, Condit, Maverick, Dober, whomever it is. They come on the show and they do a fantastic job. And peppered through the episode, he always says, dude, if you guys want this seat, if you want this seat, I will kick Trey the fuck off the episode so quickly. Like, this is your seat. Like, I'll kick him off, dude. I'll kick him off right now. I'll call him. I'll text him. But I always come back. Like, literally, if I were to submit my resume to a new employer, outside of saying I'm really good at like Microsoft Paint, I'd say I'm irreplaceable. I'm you cannot replace me. I'm here. So Dale, I'm just telling you, if you're listening to this episode on your drive right now, I'm going to replace you. My sole goal in the next 45 minutes is to replace you with someone who I think is not an absolute stud, but he's one of the best 170 fighters out there today, irregardless of whatever promotion. He just fought in the most recent UFC card, UFC Columbus. He's taken ears off people. He's not the beard. He is the pain. Dude, Max Payne Griffin. Dude, what up, man? Yeah, dude, what's up? Yeah, dude, I hyped you.
Great intro. I know the once I heard the first, even the first, you know, little credit you guys have in the beginning of the intro, that hyped me up.
I know. Well, I got your alpha male. I got Emmett there, like knocking out Lamas. Like it's pain, dude. It's pain.
I like it. How are you, man? How are you? What's cracking?
I'm doing good, dude. Like I told you pre-show, I'm rocking the alpha male, you know, flag tonight. You got Sacramento represent. I'm pumped to have you on, man. It's seldom do we get fighters, you know, directly following their battle on our show. I know you're a friend of the podcast, but dude, I'm going to be honest. You looked fantastic on the sales. You looked fantastic in the fight. I thought after the fight, you'd be like pizza and beer and you'd look all blown up. You still look shredded. Like, what's going on? We're not enjoying?
The belly's a little bit different. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, at least you're not like Dober who comes on the show and like pops his shirt off immediately. We're not a fan of that. So, yeah. but no, let's talk about it. So we talked to you, man. We must have talked to you 6 minutes before you started cutting weight. We got a great interview with you just via Instagram Live, and then fantastic weight cut. And then you go into the fight. I want the listeners to hear, like, we talked about your like tiger scream that you do in the changing room before you head into the octagon. Like from that moment, walk us through that and the fight and your thoughts.
Let's see here. I think where to even begin. Yeah, felt great the whole time. Still feel great. Ready to go. I got moved up in the card twice, actually. We're supposed to report, I want to say, at 3 o'clock. And then supposed to report at 3:30. And then I get a text saying 4:30. I'm like, for real? So I got to lay back down again, take a little rest. Move me to, I think, the second on the main card, or supposed to be the first on the main card, but then they move Slava. It gets, you don't know what's happening back there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you were trying to like coordinate times because you were telling all your friends probably back home, like, dude, I think I'm at 4:15. It might be at 3:45.
Yeah, so I'm putting shit out, you know, just get everyone there. But yeah, I mean, it was nice finding a new arena. It looked new. I don't know if that team's new or they take care of their shit, but like backstage, the seats, like, it was a sick ass venue, man. They did the hockey. They play hockey there. And the Ohio State fans, got Ohio State's right there, I want to say. So all the fans transferred over, packed the arena. It was good, though. It was, you know, my time to fight. Fucking fought. Hurt him real bad in the first. I only watched the fight once, so you got to bear with me.
No, dude, but honestly, so you walked out there, Max, and like right off the rip, I mean, you were so energetic the whole fight week. And we were all like, Dale and I were talking, we're like, dude, he almost seems too lax. And we were getting like hesitant. He's like, he's in that like flowy state. And we're like, man, is he too relaxed? But it wasn't relaxed. It was just, you were so uber confident. And like you said, the whole week prior, like, I'm going to knock this dude out. I'm going to knock this dude out. This dude said he's going to knock me out. I'm going to knock him out. So in round one, when you laid him out, that's what I want to talk about. Like, you clipped him, you sat him down, and you kind of did, I'll do an ode to Alpha Male for a quick second. You kind of did that like Cody Garbrandt versus Dominic Cruz, like kind of point, and you kind of like backed off a second. Like, was it because you're like, this is playful for me, I want him back up and I want to keep going? Or what was the deal there?
Well, I heard him and then I tried to ground and pound him, but I've seen him try to get to his wits. So I want to stand him up and knock him out. Really? I mean, hindsight, I could have tried to ground and pound him or, like, took side control and trying to – but it's hard, right, to say that in a fight because he was hurt. You know, I was like, oh, let me fucking get up. Get him up, Max. McCormick said, get up. Let him get up. So, let him get up. Yeah. I give him – he's resilient. You know, guys with a good cardio can come back from a shot, you know. So, I still don't like him. I'll give him credit that, you know, he's tough.
Well, you know, it was funny because, of course, when it goes to the decision, you know, we're always freaking out, like, how are the judges going to score this? You know, Dale and I scored rounds one and two for you. Three, you know, you had to give it to Magny just because of the pressure. Yeah, but
totally won the third. I agree.
But the thing that was funny is ESPN Plus was delayed. So I was watching it, but then I saw, I don't know if it was your lady or whomever, had your phone and she was live streaming your fight.
Yeah.
And she was ahead of the fight. So I'm watching the screen, I'm watching my phone, and she's ahead. So I end up watching the screen the whole time.
Yeah.
And the moment they gave it to Magny, I like threw my phone because I was just like, there's no way. I was like, you are the king of splits. Yeah. And you've been on, unfortunately, the wrong side. But when you look at fight back, like, is there anything you would have done differently? I thought you fought the first two rounds fantastically.
Yeah, I fought, you know, I was a little fatigued in the third. Looking back, I felt real pushy. I mean, no excuses, you know. Fucking, I let him grab me, you know, and fucking start trying to work me, but I didn't let him flat me out. I got up smart, you know. I mean, I could have tried to get up faster, but I was trying to get up without getting fucked up, and I was in a bad, precarious position, like, didn't let him do any damage, you know. I mean, the really, really my takeaway from the fight is just more cardio. I'm fighting guys that are fighting 5-round fights, like, normally. Well, 3 rounds. Fighting a normal guy that fights 3 rounds, like, that's fine for me. But fighting a guy that fights 5-round fights normally, I gotta bump up my cardio.
What does that entail? Are we getting on the assault bike, run, swim?
Back in the pool. I mean, I don't make no excuses. I won't. But just more. I know more that what more I need to do. Because when I was fine, I was fine. I didn't feel ever in danger. He didn't hit hard. I blocked all his shit. I think he's 1-for-9 on takedowns, so I stuck to all his fucking takedowns.
Right.
I didn't really feel in danger. He didn't hit hard at all. Like, it was like, it's exactly what I thought. It's exactly what I expected. Exactly what my coaches, all my shit worked. He was just able to get a hold of me in the third round. Like,
right.
try to get a hook in. You know what I mean? Like, nothing on the feet hurt me. Nothing. My own feet hurt. I still can barely walk. My feet are so fucking swollen. I have pitted edema in both feet. My feet are fucking turkeys.
Flintstone status. Yeah.
I have a fracture in my own wrist. I got a cast on yesterday. But I like hurt myself in the fight. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, my feet, I couldn't even walk fucking home, not home, but to the hotel. Like, yeah. I had to sit on my feet, dude. My feet look like fucking sausages. They're shiny. They're tight on top, dog. Just from fluid, bro. My shins, both shins, fucking, my neck's a little stiff, you know.
But the good thing is, dude, you got to lift your feet and put it on that win bonus cash. So I heard you got the win bonus cash, right?
Yeah, backstage. So it just makes it more, because I'm just swinging splits, right? So it makes it kind of more weird. I was just some horse shit, whatever. Go backstage in the, not security tent, medical tent. I'm like, I'm good. I tell them I'm fucking fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was more pissed, you know?
Right.
Mick Maynard comes back. He's like, hey, I thought you won. Dana, me and Dana, the owners, thought you won. They're going to give you a win bonus. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't want you. I did a video on him before. He's like, you're probably going to make another video of me. Because I won the bonus in Brazil. And he was telling me how it's a no-brainer, Me and the owners want our feet, you know, when you're quiet.
So, yeah.
Same kind of thing. He's like, yeah, we'll give you your win money. We thought you won. So there you go. So we're like, so I don't know. I'm having mixed emotional cocktail in the back, right? I thought I won. I lost a third. I know that, you know, but. Whatever. I was pissed. I was fucking pissed off. And then he comes back and tells me that, like, while I'm walking backstage, I'm like, how do I feel? Like, did I lose? Did I win? Fucking, like,
right.
You know what I mean? It's weird.
No, totally. It's like, you lost, but you get to come home and you're like, baby, we done it. I still got put pay. Like, I'm chilling right now, you know?
I got the L, but then, like, did I? Right? I still don't even know how to feel. I mean, I lost a third. So but then Dana's saying I won, right? So it's like, then pay me for it. Like, they never do that, ever. You don't need wrong split decisions we've been on, yo.
Totally. Yeah. And now, so the question then is, like, okay, you got hooked up there, but I feel like you should get hooked up with another, like, you know, top 10-esque fight.
Yeah, I want to fight someone. Good, man. I mean, it's not what I could do, man. You know, that was some of it. Like, yeah. So for them, it's like, did I, you know, they said I didn't lose stock or anything, you know, it was a good show. So
is there anyone that's kind of on the tip of the tongue now? Like, I mean, I know you're only 2 weeks removed, but is there someone you're kind of like, okay, there's my next matchup?
I mean, like, I want Masvidal still, you know, I want that, but, whoever's in there, I mean, if you have a list, I can tell you, but I mean, I got to heal up.
Yeah.
I got to heal up. I know I need to work on. I can't wait. I'm pissed off. So, like, whoever I'm fighting next is getting fucked. I'm back in the pool, man, and I just need to know, like, how much I need. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really know until you're in there and you're like, this is what I need to do. You know, as long as you can learn, man. So that fucking pissing me off, and I'm gonna have the best cardio, period, in the division, period. That's my new thing, bro.
I think it's exactly what you said. You don't know till you know. And I know one of your teammates, Slava Claus, man, he probably didn't know that, like, hey, man, I got to get my wrestling together going forward. There's a good learning experience right there, you know?
Yeah, totally. He thought he was cool too. You know, he wrestles with us over there. He wrestles with the guys, but to fight an athletic freak like Diakassi and then have him not even, I mean, when they struck, he struck for a minute and then he got clipped and he was like, we're going to wrestle. And it was just so effective.
Yeah. No, you can't even like, you can't fade it because you're like, dude, the guy implemented a game plan. He did it soundly. It was solid. But yeah, man. You know, bummer. Stoked you got the win bonus. Punchless was waving their flag like nonstop for you. We almost cashed round one of that TKO. So thanks for that. But man, I'm stoked to bring you on too, because many people don't know, or many of the maybe there's people that do know, you're also one of us, dude. You're a little bit of a degenerate gambler. So of all, you know, our UFC fellow friends that come on the podcast, you're probably the one that I would say knows the most, and especially from a betting perspective, like can find those values. So I always say this to our listeners. It's like, dude, you could listen to myself and Dale and a bunch of other jabronis, dude, for the next year. And like, we watch the fights as fans and we'll give our take, but it's like going to the horse races. I want to get the insight from the jockey, dude, who's been on the track, like who knows what the fuck is up. And so I'm excited to dive into UFC 273 with you. It's pay-per-view card, T-Mobile Arena, Vegas. Are you cracking a beer right now?
I'm cracking a beer, and I got my my card of two, too, to blaze.
Dude, what beer are we rocking right now going into the main card here?
This is Granddaddy Burps. It's a West Coast double IPA. I don't know if you can
double
see.
IPA.
Gosh, yeah, new dude. Boy, Granddaddy Burps. See? Reminiscent of Granddaddy Burps, obviously, for the viewers at home that may not know, but you should know if you watch the show. From New Glory Craft Brewery. I was going to crack up one of my beers, but they're not cold. So.
What's your beer?
I have it's from Claim Steak. It's a double IPA. It's called Blood and Passion. It has blood orange and passion fruit in it. It's not hella sweet, though. It's real light, but IPA-ish. It's good.
Dude, you would only like drink and like label double IPAs, just knocking people out in the cage and in the bars, man. Like, what happened to light lagers? What happened to the seltzers? What happened in this world?
We're talking about making a hard seltzer, though.
There you go. We're talking
about making a hard seltzer, like when it's like 10. We're trying to push this like how we can do it, but still taste good, you know, not too right. crazy. There's a limit. We're working on that.
Dude, I'll just push the limits. Push the limits. Well, all right. We're going to get into UFC 273 here. Like I said, T-Mobile Arena. It's a pay-per-view. It's maybe not the pay-per-view that we all wanted. There's some super, super weighted lines on both sides for at least three of the top five fights. But I'm excited to get into this. Max, we're going to start bottom of the card, go to the top. First fight on the card is Vince from Hell Pichel at 14-2 versus Mark Madsen, 11-0. Now, this one kind of pisses me off a little bit. Mark Madsen should be 10-1. I think Clay Guida beat the shit out of him in their most recent fight. Now, that might be alpha male biased, but when you look at Mark Madsen, what's he good at? He's wrestler, right?
Wrestler.
Yeah. Wrestler only, right? And where, like, outside of that, he also doesn't have a good cardio tank, which is weird for a wrestler.
Yeah. He's kind of the opposite of usually wrestlers wrestle well and have good cardio. This guy wrestles really good, but does not have cardio. No striking either. He's from Canada, yeah? Eh?
Is it Canada? I see his flag.
He's wearing red shorts.
I'm not worldly. I don't know flags. I do know he's got a shaved head, and he has the flag that's got a little cross in it, and it's red. That might be Sweden.
It might be Sweden or even England.
Could be. It's not the United States, which Vince Pichel is from. So, you know, we have to look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Vince from Hell Pichel. Dude, Dale's been on Vince for a while because he's like he's the total like workhorse, and you want someone that's going to fight for your money. And Mark Madsen at +115. Gosh, I wish that was on Vince Pichel to get some value. I think that when you look at this fight, you got to think, okay, Mark Madsen is going to exercise his wrestling for the first round, but can I get Vince Pichel to do something crazy, land a TKO, sit down on a punch in rounds two and three, and maybe take over, maybe even take over from a volume striking perspective. He can break the wrist in that, you know, after the first round and just get on volume and win on points. I don't really know where to go here because Vince is also kind of an older dude. So I think he'll fight for my money, but he's older. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a wild fighter. I mean, he could stuff takedowns probably like you're saying in the second, third round. And would land volume is just how's his cardio?
Right.
Is it better than Madsen's?
That's the thing is like when Guida fought him, I mean, dude, the Carpenter, a psycho cardio tank, like a dude that he's just constant pressure. And yeah, he's just always bobbing, weaving, crazy hair, all that stuff. Second and third round, he started to overtake, but Mark Madsen in those, like, I have no cardio left. He's someone that will clinch and hold. So can Vince Pichel break the wrist and get away and kind of circle around the cage. That's a lot of footwork and a lot of movement for three rounds. I kind of want to play here. I kind of want to play Vince Pichel straight up. Minus 135 is not a bad price. I also maybe want to sprinkle on him like a KO in round two or round three, just because I think he has power. I think Mark Madsen's older. I think he will wilt in those later rounds. But man, would a safe play just be Mark by decision just because of that mauling style?
Can you look at Vince Pichel's last fight?
Yes, I can. Vince Pichel.
I want to be, you know.
Yeah, so he had a decision win over Austin Hubbard. Before that, he had a decision win over Jim Miller. And then he had another decision win over Roosevelt Roberts. So
going Vince Pichel, I think.
I think we got to do it.
I mean, Austin Hubbard's good, dude. He's pretty good. And yeah. For him to be him, wrestler, kind of brawly kind of type, right?
Yeah, I like that. Plus, we were just communicating with Hubbard, like, back and forth online about COVID shit. Please don't flag this episode. So I like Hubbard. I know he's a workhorse too. And Jim Miller, dude, experience within itself. Vet of the game, fantastic submissions. Yeah, I think you have to look at a little bit of a resume. With Mark Madsen, Clay Guida is a vet within himself. But, you know, prior to that, I mean, he did have a win over Austin Hubbard. But after that, it's guys. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what they've done in the past. I mean, Danilo Bilirato, who I don't think is even in the promotion anymore. Yeah, I think Vince Pichel's a solid player. I wouldn't do a parlay or anything with him, but if you want some sneaky money at almost like a pick'em price,
yeah,
I think Pichel's right there.
That's a good price.
Yeah. All right, sweet. Let's get on to the next fight. This one is interesting for a couple of reasons. So Dale always gets on me because he's like, oh, dude, jiu-jitsu, Trey. Like, you fall in love with the jiu-jitsu people. Fall in love with Mackenzie Dern, of course. But – dude, Tisha Torres, she's a little muscle babe. This is a chick that has no quit. She fights on the outside of the cage, ton of volume. She can kind of jet in and explode at times. I'm curious from your perspective, Max, like we talk about this every week. Dude, how come people with like the most gnarly background in jiu-jitsu, like why do they not implement the jiu-jitsu game plan? They just say like, fuck it, I'd rather throw hands. And it makes no sense.
Yeah. No, Tisha Torres moves around a lot. She came back kind of impressive lately, I want to say. I think she was kind of falling off, and then she kind of had a resurgence, and she won a fight that I didn't think she's going to win recently. Who is she fight?
Right. I'm pulling up her last fights here. Torres, she had a decision win in August of last year against Angela Hill. Before that, a win, stoppage of Sam Hughes, and then Brianna Fortino, a decision win.
Yeah, I think it was Angela Hill. I don't think she's just going to bounce around and beat like that. But how's her jiu-jitsu? Because I'm all over Mackenzie Guerin's jiu-jitsu. I'll take that pop on that sub all day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you got to play the sub prop with Mackenzie Dern. I think the one thing that's what's weird about Mackenzie Dern, though, Max, is like
he sometimes won't grapple,
dude. Right? Exactly, and she doesn't really know how to wrestle. So it's like unless someone, which has worked in her favor a billion times, like says like, oh fuck it, I'll jump into her guard, or oh you know whatever, let's play this game. Like she's not getting anyone down. People have chosen to grapple with her, which I don't understand that. And that's how she's, you know, found ways to victory. Yeah.
But she's an ace on the ground. Do you think Tisha will get taken down. I'm sure she has good takedown defense.
Tisha has, she's got pretty good takedown defense. It's just her cardio is fantastic. So when she does get taken down, she's really quick to get her back up against the cage. But dude, also like, look at her resume before her last three wins. Now, granted, she was on a 4-fight lose skid, but dude, the quality of competition, Marina Rodriguez, Weili Zhang, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Jessica Andrade, 4 in a row.
The all the contenders.
Killers, dude.
Schedule all day. That's Tisha Torres?
That's Tisha Torres, yeah. Insane.
That's a mighty strength schedule right there.
It's an insane strength schedule. But I think like you said, I love the Mackenzie Dern prop by sub. Like, why not? Juice that pick'em line. And then Tisha Torres by decision. This is kind of like the Caitlin Chikagan of all plays, man. Like, this is what she's going to do.
What is that?
By decision? It's probably even worse. It's like, dude, it's like minus 130 or some shit. Yeah. Heavy hit. You hit everything hard, Max. That's what I've learned. What do those numbers mean?
We're burning at 40 seconds at 54 degrees.
Dude. Hey, are your braids still in?
They are. I'm getting them taken out fucking tonight, actually. I'm going to Jacksonville. I'm going to this fight, so I got to be clean when I go there, you know.
Wait, which fight are you going to in Jacksonville?
273, this one.
I thought this is at T-Mobile. Is it not?
No, this is in Jacksonville.
Dale's going to be stoked that the wheels are falling off. I didn't even know where this one was. I thought I was in Vegas. We're in Jacksonville. You're going there.
Yeah.
Nice, man. When are you heading out there?
Thursday.
All right. Nice. Mix it up with the fans. Are your feet good enough to be standing around all the time?
I'll be all right.
All right. Sweet. All right. Let's get into the next fight. Khamzat Chimaev versus Gilbert Burns, man. Bong rips with producer Jake. Yeah, producer Jake might – I don't think he'd smoke you under the table, but he'd be very competitive with you, Max. Dude rips. This is another interesting one because Gilbert Burns has obviously got the jiu-jitsu background. He's always been fairly undersized for the 170 division, more of a like 155er. So you're going in against a guy, you know, and you of all people, you know the traits and characteristics of what it takes to be a 170er. And Chimaev looks like a fucking beast. My biggest nervousness, Max, comes from like, dude, how do I lay money? I mean, Grant, I'm not going to do anything with a minus 600 of Khamzat Chimaev. I'd rather sprinkle on Burns at plus 400 and maybe do a sub prop. But, like, dude, how do you bet on a guy that's, like, untested?
The people are on the train. I'm not on it. I'm not never going to be on the train. So let's start with that. But they have fed Khamzat and they've teased the guy. They fed him 255ers, and they fed him Mirshar, who was scared out of his pants, and they fed him Jingling, who can't grapple. So they gave him guys. Or, you know what I mean? They gave him guys that are easy money, man. And they've been pushing him. This fight could be good, you know. I think it's a good test for him. And I think it gives Gilbert a chance to fight. I feel like his grappling's there, his striking's there. He is a little undersized, like you said. But I think it's not a guy he could just – if he just comes and whoops on Gilbert, then all right. But until then, he's been getting guys that can't grapple, that are scared, smaller. I think the only thing, you know, dude ain't scared. I don't think he's scared. And that's going to help Burns a lot. You know, I feel like Khamzat intimidates these guys and they fight scared. And I don't think Gilbert's going to be like that. He's going to be on them and we'll see.
Yeah. I hope he comes like firing out of the gate. You know, like I said, the undersized comment, dude, he's going to look like a Keebler elf out there compared to, you know, Khamzat, which is nerve-wracking for a guy that's so crazy heavy in the wrestling game. You know, jiu-jitsu is one thing, but when you're getting just, you know, freaking laid on and pressed up against, I can only imagine you can't exercise anything off your back, right?
Yeah, no, he just can't get there, you know?
Yeah.
You can't
get I like that you called Li Jingliang, Jingling, by the way. Like,
Jingling.
Jingling, dude. Yeah. Dude, when Hamza grabbed Jingling and brought him over to the cage, when he was talking shit to Dana, he was whipping Jingling around like, do you remember that old song by Petey Pablo?
North Carolina, like a helicopter.
No, dude, that was Jingling. That was Jingling. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. It still took him a minute to sink in that rear naked choke, but still, that was a mauling. And Jingling's big, dude. He's a relatively big dude. Yeah,
he is a big Asian. He is.
Okay, you said it. I didn't know if I was allowed to say it. I didn't know if I was allowed to say the A word. We've been canceled a bunch of times. Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm like 1%. Who knows?
So you're chill.
Me.
Yeah. So do we put Chimaev here in like a parlay, or are we just gonna have some fun sprinkle Burns by submission? Or
I wouldn't. I mean, you could put in a parlay, but -600, you're really not helping anything, really. What's like the over? Maybe like a over 1.5.
Over 1.5 could be solid.
Maybe.
Yeah, I have some notes from Dale here. He was wanting to take Khamzat by KO that was at +185, or he was wanting to take the TKO sub prop that you could probably find at like +125. Obviously, this isn't anything for Burns, Zal, Chimaev. So KO prop +185 seems pretty good, especially if he just gets into a mauling style. That could be solid. Yeah, but over 1.5, solid too. I like that because I think Gilbert's not going to come in, like you said, like Mearshark did with, you know, deer in the headlights and shit his pants. Like, he's going to like try and exercise some game plan for 7.5 minutes. Yeah, I think it's a good play too. So we like over 1.5 and possibly Chimaev by KO, or if you can find a KO sub prop, juice it a little bit.
Yeah, because -600, don't even – it's like a -1,000, you know? It's like, why even bet on that?
I mean,
you can sprinkle some on Burns just because sprinkle, I'd say, though, you know?
Yeah.
Plus 400 is decent.
I like it. All right, that's a good game plan. All right, this next fight up here, I want to know first, are you friends with any of these fighters? Because I don't want to like talk shit if you're friends.
I'm cool with all, Joe, but I mean.
Okay. What does that mean, dude? Like,
I'm cool with a lot of the guys, but who I actually like hang out with and shit is like a little bit different. I've been here for almost 6 years, so like I know these motherfuckers, you know? Like Pat and Pat, but I mean, I do my picks. I get a lot of shit from fucking. So whatever. Yes, that's for let it rip. Let it fucking rip.
Well, no, I'm gonna backpedal a little bit here, but I do want to get your thoughts. So like, Aljo became a heel, not wanting to be a heel because of what he had done. So I'm gonna break this up into three segments for you. I want to get your thoughts. Segment one was the knee to head was illegal, obviously, but did he milk it to get the belt?
I don't think
he milked it and send it to him.
I don't think he milked it. I think like the judge, like the ref shit was kind of handled weird. I don't think he milked it. I know he got fucked up. He did. Probably didn't want to go back. Because how fucked up he was.
Right.
If you call that milking, I don't know. Circumstantial.
Wait, fucked up from the fight or fucked up from the knee?
Both. Both. I mean, he was winning, and then he was losing. He was winning in the beginning. I was fucking pretty impressed.
Right.
And then Jan started taking over and started fucking him up. And then Jan didn't have to knee him. So it's his bad. He would have probably finished him a little bit after that. But he need him. Yan's bad. I think he was hurt from it, but I think how like the judge, not the fucking judge, the ref kind of handled the time, and I thought that was kind of weird. Like it could have been done better.
So then,
did he milk it?
I want to know if he milked it. It sounds like you're kind of peddling around it, dude. Just yes or no.
I don't think he milked it. I think he was fucked up.
All right, you guys are best friends.
He was losing. I wouldn't say he milked it. I mean, okay. I'd say he used it in his favor. I could say that.
There you go. He played by the rules.
He played the rules. Yeah. He got technical.
Well, so after he wins, he ditches the belt. He throws it back in. He's like, it's not my belt. But then he goes back to his Airbnb and he whips it out of a case. And him and Marab and
Al
are ripping shots off it.
You're the champ. Fuck it. You're the champ. They talk him into it.
Totally.
You're like, you're the fucking champ now.
But now he owns it. So I'm curious, is he gonna be rocking the belt at Wans like it's his belt?
Aljo'll probably rock it. He'll rock it. He got his chain and shit. He'll probably rock it. He's kind of turning into like a bad guy about it. Kind of making like a
A Colby type thing. Yeah.
But not like Colby's more serious. I feel like Aljo's not. Right? Or is he?
I don't know, dude. You're best friends with him. I don't know.
I mean, dude, he was getting roasted for months. He's still getting roasted about it.
He loves it, though. Right? He loves it.
But now he does. But at first, he didn't like it. First couple days, he was... But now he, like, embodies it. Oh, yeah, here's the fucking... you know. I'm the paper champ, motherfucker. You know,
totally. Well, okay. So then when we look at it, I went back and I actually watched the fight. We always get a bunch of shit because we had a guy hit up our podcast one time. They're like, you guys don't do tape study. I'm like, yeah, fucking, I have two kids, a job, I have my own life. I don't have time to do a fucking tape study, but I actually did tape study for this one fight because I wanted to see dude, how competitive was Aljo? And like you said, at the beginning, Max, like, dude, he was throwing bombs in that first round.
He was winning, I think.
Dude, I do too. I actually think he had the momentum in that first round.
So
when we look at this fight, it's like, okay, he probably has to replicate the same type of game plan, like get it done in the first round and a half. But like originally I was like, okay, Aljo goes in there. Let's maybe try and test Piotr Jan. I hate calling him Piotr. Wrestling? It's Peter, dude. Peter Jan. He's got to go in there and test the jiu-jitsu a little bit. I mean, if he could submit Sandhagen, he has an opportunity there. But what the issue is when you go back and watch that fight, Piotr had 10-plus takedowns up against Aljo. He was doing inside leg trips. He was doing, like, clinch hip tosses, like, all this stuff. And it's like, dude, like, how – if you can't get a guy down, it's the same – it's like the Mackenzie Dern type theory. Like, how are you going to get a submission?
So you watch it back, and that's how it went after that?
After that, it was just a pure mauling. Like they call Marab the machine now that I'm all on like what, Sterling is. But, dude, Piotr Jan is machine within himself. Once round two started, he started to pick his shots. His volume was better. His cardio is fantastic. Yeah. He's probably the most, like, technical dude I've like, ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. There's some people I look in the UFC, Max, and I'm like, that guy is, like, built different. Like, this dude eats steel for breakfast, like, probably, like, has the money to buy a mansion but lives in a hole because he just likes darkness, you know what I mean? Like, this is that type of, like, weird dude, and he's good.
Yeah
yeah.
So what's the play?
I don't know. Do you want to play under 4.5? I was kind of looking at that. I was also I conspired with Dale's all over Jan Kate by KO in rounds 2, 3, and 4, which is juiced pretty well. But would you sprinkle anything on Aljo at plus 370? No.
Personally, no. But, I mean, he could get it done. I'd say maybe a half sprinkle.
Yeah.
No, Jan got something to prove, man. he's pissed that he gave dude his belt. He's pissed about that.
Right.
You know? I know Al Joe's mad too that they've been calling a paper champ, but that's fucking how it went down. Like, that's a circumstance. So I think Jan got something to prove, man.
So under 4.5 then, man.
I think he's gonna get the finish. Yeah.
Under 4.5. I wish I was sophisticated like Dale and could have those odds up right there, but under 4.5 seems like a solid play right there.
It's got to be better than any of the.
Yeah. Right. I think of anyone on the main card, there's a couple fights, and we'll get into obviously the last fight of the night, but like Dale was saying, he's like, dude, these lines are so whack. There's going to be one like king that falls minus 105 for under 4.5. So that's pretty solid. I think Piotr Jan is of all the players on the main card. That is your parlay piece right there for sure. There's a weird inkling out there that Volk is going to have a tough time against Zombie. You never know with Gilbert Burns with his jiu-jitsu against Chimaev. Chimaev's untested. I mean, of those three fights, your most confident parlay piece is Piotr Jan.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree.
I say we do under 4.5, and then I still like Jan by KO in 2, 3, and 4 because, like, if Aljo's going to get it done, he's got to get it done in that first round, right?
Yeah. Is it nice for the plus 2, 3, 4? Probably.
Probably insane. And actually, Logan here in the chat just posted that if it doesn't go the distance, it's minus 110 on DraftKings. So I like that. That's pretty good, too.
Yeah. That's just pretty much the same as minus 4.5.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. I think we got a good go forward plan there. I like that. All right. Let's get to the last fight of the night. Alexander Volkanovsky versus the Korean Zombie. Max, what is the Korean Zombie's real name?
It says right there.
Oh, fuck.
Chan Song Jung.
No one knows that answer. No one knows that answer. Dude. So Alexander Volkanovsky, 23-1. Chan Song Jung at 17-6. Look at this fight. You think Volkanovsky's another machine within himself. He's volume, 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 cardio, 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 all about pace. Zombie's trained out of Fight Ready, which is a big deal for Dale and I. We like Fight Ready from a wrestling perspective, Cejudo's camp. I'd like that if I thought that Volkanovsky...
How long has he been there for fucking...
Like a week?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think so. Volkanovsky's so strong, and Chan Song Jung's just his style is in fucking...
Bro, you can't call him Chang, dude. It's Chan. You can't do that. This isn't jingling, dude. This is not jingling.
Chan Song Jung. He doesn't like guys that could like take him down or pressure him. He likes to kind of, you know, do his shit, you know, and he needs someone to be kind of back and not all on him, you know. I mean, Brian Ortega took him down a bunch of times, I feel like, or when he did.
Dude, you're right, yeah.
And T-City, the jiu-jitsu guy, one wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is like a wash to me.
Well, I just think, like, well, dude, it's good you brought up the Ortega fight because that's the common opponent, obviously, that they have. And with Ortega, dude, Ortega was fucking Zombie up on the feet.
Oh, yeah. Know? Dude, shout out to Brian, the homie.
Dude, and if he's fucking Zombie up on the feet, you'd think that striking wise, Volkanovsky should just run train on Zombie, at least from like an output and like technical side, right?
Yeah, different little stylistically, but Volkanovsky has long reach.
That's true.
I think I was pretty surprised by how long his reach is.
Yeah.
Long,
what is it? Yeah,
it is. When I saw it, I was like, wow, really? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's 71.5 inches. I'm not a mathematician, but that seems long.
Yeah, that's like 6 foot tall. You're supposed to have your reach, it's supposed to be your height. That's like,
what's your reach?
Almost 77.
Whoa.
My shit's long. Like 76 and 3/4.
There you go.
Most guys, my 6 foot, are have 72 inch reach. So for Volkanovski to have 72, he has the height of someone that's 6 foot. Put it like that. And he's definitely not 6 foot.
Okay. So the one nervousness I have is because I don't think Volkanovski is going to lose to Zombie on the feet. And Zombie, his moniker is just because the dude keeps walking forward. He's durable as fuck. People have seen Zombie does have some jiu-jitsu. He's got a good darce. He's got a good guillotine. But Volkanovski showed in the Ortega fight that he's good at, you know, defending chokes. Like that guillotine that Ortega had on Volkanovski, like the most like apex of their matchup. I want to say that he had good defense, and I was fighting with Dale, and Dale's like, dude, it wasn't defense. It's because Volkanovski has a chin like a motherfucker, like the biggest chin on the planet.
You have to have defense.
Right? This isn't like a it's not like a Faber chin, dude. Like, it's not like a special chin, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's tough. He was. But he got to have some kind of fucking defense. Dude didn't just chop out. Brian's one of the fucking best grapplers fucking out there. He knows how to sink it in. So, dude totally was trying to defend it. It was close. I was fucking, oh my God, it was fucking this close.
Yeah.
I was in Resorts World. Me and Dominic Reyes were out there. We were out there for fucking the fights. But they paid us to be out there for fight week and like do like a, she called the Red Tail. Resorts World, but we did like a little party up there. But yeah, fucking, he had choking on the big screen. It was fucking, other than that, it was not a good night for him. But
yeah,
that part was, I was on my feet. I was on my feet for that. But he has great submissions. But dude, ain't no submission artist. Who? Chen Song Jung? Come on, brother. Nah, man.
Get him a little bit of the jingling, dude. Just a little like front hole jingling.
He's not gonna submit Volkanovski.
So do we sprinkle on? I mean, dude, it's hard to not sprinkle on a +500.
Yeah, let's sprinkle something.
Like, I think we got to sprinkle a little bit on Zombie here. I think we should also do, If Volkanovski is gonna win, he's gonna win by decision, right? 5 rounds, that's super durable.
You pounding that fucker out, man. I could see him just being too much.
Yeah,
he's gonna be too much for him. Just like soul wise, to me, it seems like his soul is just. I don't know what I could say on here, but I won't say anything more.
No, go for it. No. We're already canceled, bro. Seriously. We're already canceled. No,
I can't say. I'll tell you off the podcast.
All right. Well, dude, we could take producer Jake. What's under 4.5, dude? Under 4.5. That'd be if you think he's gonna go in there.
Durable to last for 4.5 rounds with Volkanovski. I'm just
telling you. Yeah, a lot of people in the chat right here. Alex is saying Volk inside the distance of the play. Volk by decision, I think, is like -165, which. That isn't sexy to me, dude. It's just not sexy. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. No.
Maybe if it was 130, 120, even money, but not for almost -2.
+115 for under 4.5.
That's respectable, I'd say.
It's funny because.
Pound to pound. I don't think he could last that long. Just the output. I just remember last thing I see in my head is Zombie just getting whooped by T-City everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brian doesn't do hell of volume either. He's kind of like a mid-pace kind of more takes his time kind of shit. He doesn't like do hella much. And I think someone doing hella much like Volkanovski is just going to just, I think he's going to steamroll, dude. I just do.
Yeah. No, that's I mean, dude, you also wonder, like, we talk about this all the time, and I don't know if this is a real thing. You would know, but like, well, you wouldn't know because you don't take much damage, but like someone like when you take more and more and more in damage, like that eventually is going to catch up with you, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and zombies taking a stupid amount of damage. Like,
yeah, more so than he needs to. I mean, I'll take damage when it happens, but I don't want to. You know, it's
right. Not
damage me, you know. It's part of the game, but yeah, he got thrashed his last fight, right? What did he fight? Did he fight?
No. He won his last fight.
He did fight someone after that. Who did he fight? Cub Swanson or something? Or
no, he fought Dan Ige. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, good boxing from.
They had like a boxing battle. They had like a boxing battle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I would think that Korean Zombie's got to come out and just throw the kitchen sink, because I don't think he wants to take damage going into the later rounds against someone who's got freaky cardio, freaky output, and a freaky pace. So him in the early rounds, maybe. But I think also, dude, you bringing up that this is in Jacksonville, not that you had to bring that up because I'm a fucking idiot and I thought it was in Vegas, but that you brought it up. Jacksonville fans are psychopaths. They're going to be shit-faced by the time that this comes around. So it's going to be electric. He's probably just going to be like, dude, I'm going all in. I've ditched the fucking game plan. Round one, I'm going balls to the wall. I could see him blowing his wad, Volkanovski taking over, and yeah, putting him out under 4.5. And I think Brian H right here in the chat, under 4.5 at +120, he's finding it. That's a solid play.
Yeah. Because -800, that's not even worth doing anything with.
No Korean way.
Zombie, you could say, you know, put a little something on that just in case that, you know, +500 will cover the sub or the finish if he gets them. I could see him maybe catching him with the punch or something, but Volk's so tough. I feel like this is not going to happen.
He's a little muscle dude. If him and Tisha Torres made a baby, it would just be one bicep, dude. You know what I mean? That's what I think. So that completes the main card for 273. Max, I want to get one more fight thought from you.
Anthony Hernandez is going to win.
You think Fluffy's going to win?
Totally.
By submission.
Submission ace.
If you can submit Adolfo Vieira, dude, you are an ace.
You're technically the best grappler in the UFC.
Technically. He's totally. Yeah.
If you submit the best ever Abu Dhabi guy or whatever, decorated guy, then that makes you that guy, kind of.
I would claim that. I'd claim that moniker for sure. No, this fight's bigger than all those fights, dude. It's bigger than the early prelims, bigger than the prelims, bigger than this main card. I want to know your thoughts on Chris Rock and Will Smith, dude.
Chris Rock and Will Smith.
Was it justified?
I mean, he was heated. He was in the moment. He did slap the shit out of him. But if you looked, I mean, I saw some slow-mo shit. This is probably not the question you asked me. I saw some slow-mo stuff. You know, it could have been staged. It could have not. He didn't move. He just sat there. He braced for it. I saw a thing that there was like a pad on his cheek. I saw a thing, which is interesting. I think I don't want to say it, but the pharmaceutical companies, there's two of them, but I guess they're working on new alopecia medication. So, interestingly enough, she has alopecia. It's all about alopecia. One of the big ones is putting out a new alopecia medicine like this week or something. Next week, it's like just being finished.
God damn it, dude.
Yeah, dude. That's how I feel about that.
I'm so happy Dale's not on this episode, because we would go down such a gnarly rabbit hole right now. But fuck, man. They're so good at marketing. So good.
But yeah, that's what I heard.
Wow. All right. Well, Max, dude, you're a legend. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You, sir, can have that seat anytime, because Dale can suck it. You're a legend, dude. Savage.
We talked good shit, you know? It was a good... You're knowledgeable. don't know about Dale.
Well, he called Dale, you the trash man, so, you know.
The garbage man.
The garbage man, dude. Yeah.
Oh. We never let him live that down. But
never, dude. Just keep plugging him. Well,
but you know your shit. And that's, I've been said this, you know. Like, you're not just like, well, he has, you know. You actually know why and what and how. And it's important than just picking guys. And, you know, so anytime. Dude,
I appreciate it, man. And for all those listening, Max, you put out your picks on fight day, right?
Yeah.
On your Instagram page? Yeah. So Max Payne Griffin, go follow him. Take a look at his picks. Obviously, can't wait for you to get back in the cage, man. We're stoked. I'd love to say I'd come and get some cardio with you, but I hate running, and I'm also fat right now. So I refuse, but I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. You're a legend. Thanks. And to all those, dude, I didn't even give shout outs to the sponsors. My bad. I was too excited. Go to stayclassymeats.com, type in the code FISK, get 10% off on your guys' order. My wife and I have been watching Yellowstone, so I'm all hyped right now. I'm like, Western shit. And I'm tell me you don't want to wear a cowboy hat right now, dude.
Dude, I went to fucking my place. I don't want to say Stay Classy Meats, but I got American almond beef. We went up to the ranch. I had the calf fries. We ate their nuts and shit, fried them up. Branded a bunch of animals. They roped them and shit, tied them up. Like, it was crazy. It was, dude, it was Yellowstone, bro.
Oh, dude, it's so sick. I look at that show and I think, like, how, like, these hands are like Chinese silk ribbon. Like, they have never done hard work in my life. And I look at that and I'm like, that's a true freaking American. You know what I mean? Like, dude. But guys, if you want to get like ranch to table meat, go to Steak Classy Meats, type in the code FIST, and that's going to get you 10% off. Also, Elite Clothing. I just waved the flag right here. You know, the most American made butter blend clothing owned by veterans and just savage wear, dude. Go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH, and you get 15% off. Go follow Max Griffin. Thank you guys for the support. Dude, someone downloaded our episode last week in Seychelles. I actually found where that is. It's sick. I'm going to vacation there when I like make a stupid amount of money off GameStop. I appreciate you all listening. Good night. Bang, bang.